pace tonight. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Amen? I don't want you to get bored. You know, I always notice you got one pastor, you know, at a church, and he's preaching all the time, and you ever get where you've heard the illustrations, it's like, oh no, here we go again. And every message kind of starts to sound the same. It's difficult. Honestly, it's not easy. Everybody, I love the evangelist. I love the visiting preacher. That's because he comes in, pulls out his best five sermons and preaches to you and goes to the next place. Amen? But it's totally different processing a bunch of messages per week. And right now I'm at six, you know that. And it's totally different trying to get those done and keep them fresh. So you don't feel like every service it's like the same thing over and over again. And I mean this from my heart. I don't take it lightly that you support me. I appreciate it. I mean that from my heart. And I don't take it lightly that God's called me to do what I do. And I want to make sure by the grace of God that I do my best. I'm not trying to be the best. I'm not competing against anybody else, although that's in my nature. I know that that's wrong in the context of the work of God. I'm not trying to compare myself to anybody else. But I do want to be the best that God can make me. And I want to be the best I can be for you. Amen? And so I really want it to be fresh. And I'm thankful God lays it out fresh for me. And I know tonight's going to be a little bit different than what our normal is. We're going to turn quite a bit. We're going to take our time and work through this chapter verse by verse. I'm not saying that's how I'm going to do it from now on Sunday night. But for this chapter, that's how I feel led to do it. As I was reading this chapter to get ready, and I always think a preacher. I'm a preacher. That's just how I'm wired. I think that way. My mind works that way when I approach the Bible. It's very different. It's hard to explain. But as I read this passage, I started seeing certain things that kept jumping out at me. And I thought, you know what? I think this is a passage of Scripture that bears slowing down a little bit. And just let's pick through it, all right? And the beauty of that is, I don't have a conclusion I got to run to or a certain verse that I got to get to, so I will try my best to get us out of here at 8 to 8.05. I didn't promise. I said try my best. 8 to 8.05, okay? Why are you all saying amen? That's like an hour and a half from now. 7 to 7.05 is what I meant. I said 8 to 8.05, and you were still saying amen. You really mean that? I mean, I can go an hour and a half, and you're all right with that. You people need a doctor, amen? That's a blessing, man. Hallelujah. It'd be totally different, of course, if it was some sorcery movie or something. What's that idiot's name? The big glasses? The Steve Urkel of the white boys? What was it? Harry Potter. There it is. Yeah, we could sit for 3 hours and watch that. I mean, look, good night. Jim can watch Star Wars for 4 days without sleeping. You are a carnal bunch of people. Wow, no wonder I feel so at home here, amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 10, let's pray and then we'll dive in, all right? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the good spirit in our church. I thank you for my church family. And Father, I ask you to make me the preacher, the pastor, Lord, that you'd have me to be. Lord, sure enough, I'm sure of it. There's no better calling on this planet than to be a preacher of the Word of God, to try my best to give the words of God to God's people, and it's an awesome responsibility. Lord, there's people here tonight that came back to church tonight because they wanted to hear from you, and they need it. And Lord, if they came for any other reason, I pray that you'd convict them of that and that they would hear from you tonight. They'd leave here better than they came. But Lord, for those who came to hear from you, I ask you to give them what it is that they need. Lord, I want to be a balanced pastor and a balanced preacher and a Bible teacher, and I ask you to touch me and make me those things. In and of myself, God, this book makes absolutely no sense. The natural man doesn't perceive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned, and so I need a touch from heaven, and I ask you for it, Lord. And if you give it, boy, Lord, that'd be amazing. That'd be a miracle. That'd be something that, God, that'd be something that's worth living for and dying for. That's life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd touch me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. The first thing you see is the obvious application that applies to a child and his parents, of course. And there's a practical application to every verse that we're going to cover, but they're also what caught my attention is there's a spiritual application, and there's even a way to apply it to us doctrinally in this age in an interesting way. Not every verse. We know that when we get to the Old Testament, not every verse is going to apply to us doctrinally, correct? When we look for our doctrine, we go to the Pauline epistles. But if we find things back here that don't correct the Pauline epistles, things that aren't given to Israel specifically, we can apply those things and get some help from them. And I think one of the things that's majorly lacking among Bible-believing Christians is more of the practical and spiritual application. We like to hammer on preaching. We like to hammer on doctrine. We like to hammer on sin and the liberal world and the homosexual agenda and hammer on all those things. But what about us growing spiritually, not just always being right? Amen? I believe if you and I are going to be wise, a wise son, first of all, makes a dad proud, a glad father. I mean, a man that has a wise son is just proud of that boy. Should be, unless he's a fool. Should be proud of his son. And the Bible also says here, a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Is the heaviness of his mother. Now, you ever see a parent who's got a child that they're embarrassed of? And they love that child. But when they start to talk about him, they'll be like, preacher, there's heaviness in the spirit. Why? Because of a disappointing child, a foolish child. That's a sad thing. It can happen to anybody. Amen. So don't be hard on other people when you see it happen to them. Be careful. Especially those of us that don't have grown kids yet. I'm not stupid. I look stupid and I act stupid, but that's all a game. Amen. And I'm not as smart as I think I am. You could say amen to that. That's true of everybody here probably. Amen. But I also don't think I'm the dumbest person that ever lived. I'm probably close, but not. I don't think I take total last place. I've seen enough to know some people did their very best and their children made their own choices and their hearts are crushed. Amen. And I am not going to stand up here and beat my chest and say, if I do it this way and that way, here's the perfect formula, they don't depart. You better study that passage out and figure out what it's talking about and how. So things aren't always that simple. Now, that's the face value application. How about this, though? A wise son maketh a glad father. How many of you here have a father in heaven? You got a father in heaven? Amen. I'm glad you're saved. If you don't have your hand up, we need to talk. I want to be a wise son. And here's the thing. We need to know that if we aren't making him glad, we're making him mad. You know, your acceptable service, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, your acceptable service is for you to present yourself a living sacrifice to God, right? So what happens if I don't? Go, keep your finger here in Proverbs. We're going to be turning around a little bit. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 4. I'm sorry, chapter number 12, excuse me. Chapter number 12. We'll start reading in verse number 4. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Watch it. My what? A wise what? Is the gladness of his father? My son. You want to be a wise son of God? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked by him. Born again believer, child of God, a wise son does not start out with great Bible knowledge. That's not the beginning of a wise son. A wise son, according to Hebrews chapter 4, in more of a New Testament application, is a son who can take a whooping. Now, how about that? That changes the game, doesn't it? I mean, to be able to say, wow, I was wrong and I deserve that. And that's not easy. Trust me, it's painful. And you know how I know it's painful? I've been in God's woodshed more times than I want to talk to you about. And I know it. And all that helps me have compassion on other people. You know, I guess don't have time for these people. God's going to deal with them. God's going to get them. Chill out, tough guy. Yeah. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And he had the great power of God on his life. Like, my goodness, man, what a great man. What a great prophet he was. And he never sat back and said, God, go get those people. Whenever God was ready to do it, he said, no, no, Lord, no, 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 Lord, no. There are times he got mad and said, what, did I bear these children? He got mad at them, but he always interceded for them. He never even wanted to see God bust anybody up. You know what? Moses had spent quite a bit of time in God's woodshed. Yeah, I guarantee you he did. He murdered somebody. You remember that? God had to break that man down and break that man down. There's a difference between breaking a child's spirit and breaking a child's will. Abusive fathers break the spirit, and you'll see it in the kids. It'll show up. You'll either have a rebellious, angry maverick who's a violent person, or you'll have somebody who can't even hold their head up in public and won't ever just go out and get a job or amount to anything because they've been beat up too much. A spirit got broke. Either way, it's a bad thing. A broken spirit. Oftentimes, mean and aggressive and rebellious people have a broken spirit. And it's a sad thing. All right, now here's the deal. God whoops on us, doesn't he? And if you're a wise son that's going to please God, don't despise his chastening, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. A great test for your Christian character is when you're wrong, when you're getting whooped, when you're getting criticized, and you're wrong. When you're getting judged, and you're wrong. Can you take it, or are you going to disappear? Can you get it right? I mean, truly get it right, and stay faithful with a good spirit. Happy to be in the house of God. Happy to be fellowshipping. Now that's a wise son. Watch verse 6. And this is important for us to understand. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You guys, if he didn't discipline you, he wouldn't love you. Remember in Institute when we talked about the difference, and we were talking about child rearing back there last semester, and it said the word nurture and admonition, and how it was strange, but when you study the word nurture, it actually has, everybody thinks of, oh, I'm nurturing my baby. No, nurture has to do with discipline, and admonishing is the training, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Discipline is nurture. You know what kind of the worst kids are? The worst and most miserable children are children whose parents don't discipline them. And I'll say this, and it might step on some toes, and not that anybody that I know of that's here, but, you know, then again, I don't always know it all, you know, so you might be here, and I'm not trying to offend you. But there's this nutty insanity foolishness going around about these women that are, and it's not enough. Look, I don't care what you do. Let me just stop for a second and say this. I could care less what you do. They're your kids. I don't care, okay? Does that make sense? All right, here's the problem. When these women get stuck on this thing, they start preaching it like it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not kidding. They latch onto this stuff and start spreading it to everybody else in the church and on Facebook and Twitter and texting and this, just this. They're almost abusive, like if you don't see it my way, you're a horrible, abusive mother. You know, amen. If the fools, thank you, would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with the same zeal they preach their opinions about foolishness, people would get saved and the church would fill up. Amen. Okay, now are you with me? Okay, here's the foolishness that's going on. It's this, don't let your child cry themselves to sleep. Some of you are like, oh, he didn't go there. I don't know if any of you are into that, okay? I really don't. I promise. I'm not standing up here lying. I don't know if you're into that. As far as I know, none of you are. I would never allow my child to cry themselves to sleep. It breaks the spirit bond between the mother and the child. I better break the will of that kid if you plan on sleeping. Yeah. Amen. You go in, you check the diaper, you make sure they're not poopy. You know, if you check and see if they got a belly button, you bounce them a little bit and pat their belly, and you know, they're not a gas problem. And when you checked it all out and they're fed and everything's fine, you know, they just want your attention all night. All right, lay them down, let them cry to sleep. Whatever, do what you want. I could care less, but don't be preaching that stuff like it's the gospel. Amen. Busybody, tattler, busybody in other men's matters. Whatever. I mean, you can see how horribly abused my children are. You know, they all cried themselves to sleep, and they're just so dysfunctional. They're just a complete wreck. Right? Please note my sarcasm. Whatever, do what you want. Co-sleeping, you know. I mean, are you nuts, man? Whatever, do what you want. I don't care what you do, once again. But good night, man. Me and Grace were like, ain't no baby laying in bed between us. No way, brother. In the other room. I mean, they stayed in that little cradle for a little while when she's waking up every couple hours to feed them and all that stuff. But that lasted as short as it could be, and it was out. Amen. We don't want every little sniffle and whine to be like, oh, what was that? You know? I mean, put them in the other room. When they scream, we'll hear them. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got on all that, but it was a blessing. All right, so God loves you. That's how I did it. God loves you, and it doesn't mean he pampers you. Some of these women are never mind. Kids are 7 years, let's put it this way. Kids are 7 years old, 6 years old, and part of this whole system is they believe in feeding them like they're still not weaned until they're 6 and 7 years old. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? It's just nutty stuff, folks. And it's a messed up society that doesn't understand true love and doesn't understand God. And so now you got all this madness going on. I wonder, just whatever, throw it out there to you. I wonder how that works in a husband-wife relationship. When you got a 6 or 7 year old that's still acting like an infant, it's time consuming and in the business and in the way of the relationship as an infant is, and that's part of the process when they're an infant, whatever, right? Never mind, I lost you. All right, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Here's a wise son. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So it's a blessing. So if you're a wise son, then when God begins to discipline you, you take it well, and you say, sir, I'm sorry, I'll stop. You're right. But the interesting thing to me, as far as how this thing would apply to us, go to Galatians chapter 4, if you would. You're in Hebrews, let's head back to our left and stop in the book of Galatians chapter number 4. I found this very interesting. And just in meditating on the scripture and looking at it as I went through it, and I think hopefully you'll understand why I want to go through it in this style here. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's the place the Lord went to prepare for us. It's the new Jerusalem, which is, notice it, the mother of us all. So the mother of the New Testament church is not Mary. Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? I'm telling you, if my mom came in here and I looked at her and said, mom, I don't know, what do I have to do with you? Get out of the way, I'm preaching. You'd be like, oh, he talked to his mother that way? You don't get it, you know? It's fine. Your mother and your brethren are asking for you. He said, these are my mother and these are my brethren. Whoso hears the word of God or knows the will of God and does it, or something like that, the same as my brethren and my sisters. Amen. When we come in here, there's no friends, no foes, no family, no finances. You've heard it before, right? So the mother of us is not Mary. Jesus made that point. The mother of you and I is the new Jerusalem. Now watch it. A fool is a shame to his mother. Now ain't that kind of neat? I mean, whatever, take it. Oh, that's not, whatever, take it or leave it. But I do know this. I do know that at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, some of us are going to be ashamed. And when looking at that and comparing that to this, just saying the possibility is our shame may last a little bit longer than we might expect. I don't know. What do you think, preacher? I got 1,000 things that I think, and I don't want to say them from the pulpit, recorded, and all the rest of that stuff, because I would talk to you and brainstorm and, you know, throw some things out there, but I don't want to go down, you know, as he says and he believes, you know, crazy stuff. There's a lot of things we don't have all the answers to. Let's stick with what we know. Amen? And I know this, a foolish son, a foolish Christian, is going to have some shame on the other side. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like shame, do you? You ever been really embarrassed? Caught red-handed, my hands in the cookie jar. Mom walks in the room. What are you doing? Nothing. Is your hand in the cookie jar? No. Right? You can't get out of it. You're busted. It's embarrassing, isn't it? I don't want shame. I wonder what it would be like to have shame in a glorified body on the other side. We can't get the glory of it, right? I talked about that this morning. I wonder what it'll be like when we get to that judgment. Kind of scary, isn't it? You know what's nice is that a wise son can make a glad father. What a blessing that would be to finally get there and walk in and have God say, hey, man, how you been, man? I've been watching you from afar, and I'm glad you're close. You're a good kid. No, you goofball, I'm talking to you. Look at me. Yeah, you. Well, I want to be wise. Back in Proverbs chapter 10, we're just screaming through this chapter. We're into verse 2 now. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. You want a good application of that one? Go see how the United States government is doing with all the money they get. Check out their deficits. Go to Hollywood. Go talk to some stars. See how rich they are and how much profit there is in it. Watch Mike Tyson, rich and famous, feared. He has anything he wants. Pet tiger, whatever that idiot had, you know. Watch him talk about how miserable he is and how much he hates his life and hates everybody and hates everything. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Folks, you're in a world that tries to tell you you'll be happier when you get more. It's not true. I listen. I watch people around me. Heard a couple old men in public recently sitting there talking about their money. One must have been a financial advisor, and the other one must have been the one that had the money. And the one with, you know, the financial advisor, of course, is trying to help him make money, but he's also trying to sell to his pay plan, which is what you're taught to do. So you're going to sell to your pay plan because he's trying to figure out what works for him, what also is going to grease salesman's pocket, excuse me, financial advisor's pocket, right? And I'm looking at the old man, and I'm thinking, what do you care, man? You're up in your 80s. You're walking with a strange-looking cane that actually wraps around the arm because he had some kind of a disease and he was pretty rough shape. What do you care? Well, No, it ain't safe. Is it going to be there? It ain't going to be there. Amen. Don't worry about the treasures of wickedness. Now, if God gives you money, you came by it honestly. We'll look at that in a minute. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. Be wise with it. I wouldn't be like, I don't care. Put it in the dumbest. I don't care. That's my. I might lose it all anyhow. You're a fool. Amen. But if God's entrusted you some, then praise the Lord for it and enjoy it. Thank you for doing that for him, brother. I was tired of him giving me that look. A son was right in his face, and he's like, wow, man, I don't know what ticked Paul off tonight, but I sure love him anyhow. Lord Jesus, help me. Amen. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness, watch it, delivereth from death. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, you know what the Bible calls Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1? It says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a great name. You got Jesus Christ, folks, you're going to get delivered from death. So who cares what happens to the economy? Amen. Don't sweat the small stuff. Be smart because it might not all tank. You know, they told me years ago, some of the guys were saying Social Security ain't going to be there when I'm old enough. And I've talked to preachers who are old enough to withdraw right now that can't because they opted out. I said, don't make my mistake. I said, too late, Jack. I did it 12 years ago. So don't do that. It might. I don't think it will. I don't think Jesus is going to wait anyhow. But, you know, hey, whatever. I'm not trying to tell you to be stupid. I'm just trying to say where we ought to put our heart. I think putting our heart and our life into Jesus Christ would make us wise. Make us wise. Verse number 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Now, we need to run a couple references on this. Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't stand here and say I'm a righteous man, right? But I do try to live for God. I would say because of my salvation that in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm righteous. My sin's been washed away by his blood. I thank God for that. And I am trying to do right. I'm not doing anything that I know of that God's trying to tell me, you better stop that right now. I am doing the best I know how. I'm not saying I'm without sin. Don't think me wrong or look at me wrong. I wouldn't be so nutty as to say that. I've sinned today. I sinned yesterday. Sinned the day before. Sinned the day before that. I know I'm not perfect, but I am trying to do right. Aren't you? I hope you are. Amen. You don't have to sit there. It's not like, I'm not talking about being arrogant and proud. I'm talking about, yeah, I am kind of trying. Okay, so the Bible says here, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Now, we got to take a doctrinal look at this thing. Because you'll have a lot of guys, you know, claiming promises to God that don't apply to them. Go over with me to Romans chapter 8. Keep your finger here in Proverbs or put a bookmark of some kind there. And come over to Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 35. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You know what he's saying to the church in Romans chapter 8? Famine. Well, didn't Proverbs say God wouldn't suffer the soul of the righteous to famish? Famine. You realize in the New Testament, some New Testament Christians do starve to death? There are saved Christians in Africa and in other places that do starve to death. Well, what about that? Keep going to your right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. People start doubting God because they see verses of Scripture and they don't know where they're applying and to who they apply to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 10. Paul says this, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." You got this good career and a job and a title and all this stuff, and apostles, prophets, preachers are the off-scouring of the world. They hate you. They sneer at you. They snub their nose at you. They'll like you and everything until, you know, talk to you, carry on a nice, normal conversation, and they don't really seem like we're hitting it off. And then you say, "Hey, I want to give you a gospel tract." And all of a sudden, you're like, "Whoa, what do you got, leprosy?" We're the off-scouring of this world. We're despised. Verse 11, even unto this hour, unto this present hour, we both, look at it, hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, they're talking bad about us, they're putting us down, we entreat. So we go to them and try to, you know, "Hey, would you? We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Now what about Proverbs? Proverbs 10 said he wouldn't suffer a soul of the righteous to famish. Paul said, "I'm hungry." How many of you think Paul would have been qualified for a righteous man? If there's anybody in the New Testament that did, you think he'd qualify? I'm pretty sure he would. Paul said, "The God that loves me let me go hungry. He let me go thirsty." Paul's dehydrated. Lips are sticking together. Cracking. He needs a drink. Naked. Yeah, so I mean, sometimes when he got thrown into jail, they must not have given him clothes in that cold dungeon. Buffeted. No certain dwelling place. Does that remind you of somebody? You see, Christian, in the New Testament, you were called to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. He said, "Well, Master, I'd come wherever you go, I'll go." He said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not wherewith to lay his head." Are you sure you're coming? I don't think it ever tells us that the guy actually came. Wow, how's that for the calling of the Christian life? Let's sit around and claim the promises and, you know, well, make sure you're claiming promises that actually apply to you. Because if not, what'll happen is the devil will creep in there and start making you doubt God. Why would God allow this? He said, and I believe his word. Yeah, well, if you believe his word, then you should know how to rightly divide it. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be careful, you can get snared by not understanding how to divide the Bible. That's a dangerous thing for a Christian. So here's Paul, he's allowed to go hungry. Look, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 11, 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Okay? You talk going around saying you're serving God and you're, you know, well, you know, I don't know who Paul thinks he is, but I know that this should be. Okay, all right. You want to lay out some credentials? You want to show who's got what degree? Let's show. in labors, and he says, I'm ashamed of doing this. I'm speaking like a fool, and I know it, because all this stuff isn't anything, right? I am more in labors more abundant. I work harder for God than you. In stripes above measure, I've been beaten for God. In prisons often, in deaths oft. We know for sure once he went to the third heaven. He died and came back. But it looks like more than once he got resuscitated because they wanted him dead so bad and they tried so hard they succeeded and God wasn't done with him yet. No man has the power to retain the spirit, but God's the one that can make it stay in that body. That's a wild thing, ain't it? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Wow. Wow. Well, 5 times 40, what's that, 200? Save one, 195 stripes across his back. Those things had cut to the bone. You know what his back must have looked like? Next time you say, I got back pain, think of the Apostle Paul. On top of that, we've studied it before. He had trouble with his eyes. He couldn't see very good. Asked the Lord to take it away. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Guy was a miserable, stinking, rotten mess, man. I mean, a mess. If he lived in America today, his whole wall would have been different medications from the doctors. It just would have been like top to bottom, just lined with bottles of pills. He wouldn't have taken them, but you know, hey. Yeah, man, he was a mess. He had to have been a mess. Thrice I was beaten with rods, as if 195 stripes on your back ain't enough. Now beat the man with rods. Rods, do you know how bad scar tissue can mess you up and cause pain? Those of you who've had surgeries are like, yeah, uh-huh. Scar tissue can make you miserable. He had a ton of scar tissue on his back. And then he steps it up another notch and says, thrice I was beaten with rods. That was in the old school day, folks, where they took men who knew how to kill people and enjoyed watching people suffer. I'm not trying to be gross. It's just reality, okay? You all have TVs and you watch vampires chase people down and cut heads off and suck blood and all the rest of zombies run around with shotguns and then they get offended. You know, they splatter the guts on the TV screen. So you're like, oh, on your couch. Oh, that was awesome, dude. And like, I don't know if a preacher should talk like that. That's just hypocritical. Amen. You know what they say? They've said to me before, well, it just doesn't have place in the church. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you're bought with a price? So, I mean, it's okay. Oh, it's okay when you're not in the magical four walls of the building, and you just check the Holy Spirit in, and you leave and come back. And I'm here to check out the Holy Spirit so I can get into the church service. Where's my Holy Spirit? He stays with you, man. If it ain't right there, it ain't right here. Amen. All right, now. Thrice I was beaten with rods. So you got some muscular, well-built guy in his, what, 20s, 30s, just lives and trains to kill and likes watching people suffer. And you happen to hand him a rod, and you're preaching against every sin he loves to commit. Friday nights are a riot for this guy. And you're telling him he's a whoremonger. And you give him a rod. And bend that old man over and stretch that back out and just start beating the fire out of him. That's a bad thing. How many of you still want to serve the Lord? I think it's funny. I mean, I'm not laughing at Paul here. I'm laughing at us and how just silly we are. You know what we think the Christian life is. Here's our pattern. And he's a pattern of long-suffering. Wow. Is this helping you put some of your petty problems in perspective? There's an outline for you guys. Petty problems in perspective. You know, never mind. All right. Once I was stoned. Good night. When you just think he can't up the ante anymore, he tells you something else. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Well, that sounds pretty scary. I mean, that boat's going down. A night and a day I'd been in the deep. He's hanging out in the water a night and a day. All night long and all day the next day till he gets out of that problem. In journeyings often. Old school journeyings that make flat tires look like a joke. In perils of waters. What do you got besides shipwreck? You know, crossing rivers that were swollen and moving faster than they looked like they were moving. I don't know. What else, man? Flash floods? In perils of water. In perils of robbers. How many of you have ever had somebody come up, a bunch of guys come up and jump you, stick a gun in your face and try to... Paul did. In the middle of serving God, right smack dab in the perfect will of God.
It's all falling apart. This is for some, I don't know who you are, but this is for somebody tonight who's thinking, it's just not going right for me, and maybe I should find another church, and maybe this isn't working out. This is for you, and I don't know who you are, but the devil's been working on you, and you're out there. Amen. All right, and maybe it's somebody listening online, and I don't know, but here's a man smack in the middle of God's will. Don't you wish you lived back there in the Old Testament under the law? Wouldn't that have been so much better? Yeah, amen. I'll take grace all day long, and I'll take the trouble that comes with it compared to that. Amen. In perils by mine own countrymen. There you go. They loved him so much, they were going to mess him up. You read Acts, you'll see it. In perils by the heathen. You go out there and preach to them, the unknown God. All right, I'm going to preach about him. You don't know him? You need to know him. His name's Jesus Christ. Here we go. Get out of here. Diana the Ephesians. He's wrecking our income. In perils in the city. Well, you know that can be bad. In perils in the wilderness, that sounds even scarier than the city. Turn around, there's a pack of wolves stalking you, you know? What's he talking about? He doesn't say. I'm just trying to help you meditate on it and think through it. In perils in the sea. Good night, man. That's the third reference to dangerous water. I don't like water. How about you? Stuff scares me to death, man. You go, let's go swimming in the ocean. Yeah, let's go light our hair on fire and see what happens. You know, I don't understand people. There's sharks out there and stingrays and jellyfish and all kinds of other stuff. You got snakes going through that. Man, forget about it. I have no desire. You want to move to Florida, have fun. Amen. You can ride the cockroaches, man. All right. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Somebody told me somewhere in Florida, it was Brother Paul, I think, was telling me somewhere in Florida, a city made an ordinance that you have to have a license to pray in church, right? And they were actually sending people into the church to sit and see who was going to violate the ordinance, who was going to get in trouble. I hadn't seen that or confirmed it, but I don't think Brother Paul would make it up. Now, how about that? False brethren. Paul said they could sneak in to spy out your liberty in Christ. And I can't help but to think of that from time to time. And I've had moments in the last 7 years where I felt like the Holy Spirit said, hold back. And I don't know why, but you just never know who's sitting there acting like they're one of them, and they're not. That's scary, ain't it? Praise the Lord, man. It's all right. And weariness and painfulness. Wore out, hurt, and painfulness, you think? I threw my back out. Paul's like, shut up. Whoa, I got a slipped disc. Paul said, I can only wish. Amen. Ain't that encouraging? This has turned into a real positive message tonight. And watchings often, that's staying up all night. In hunger and thirst, he says it again. In fastings often, voluntary. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And that's pretty much all that most preachers nowadays know is the care of one church. We don't know all the rest of this stuff. It hasn't happened to us. And the pressure and the stress and the frustration of caring for one church has driven preachers out of the ministry. It's destroyed their marriages. It's given them ulcers. It's caused them to have nervous breakdowns. And I can give you names, dates, places, and times. The care of one church can be enough pressure to ruin a man's health, to ruin a man's marriage, and to ruin a man's life. And he adds all these other things to it. And he just throws in the mention of dealing with the people and the stress of the ministry like, oh yeah, don't forget about the stress of the ministry. Almost forgot that one. Wow. So be careful about going over there and claiming a promise that's not to you because it'll confuse you. Watch verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Oh, there's people mad at you. There's people struggling. There's people weak. Paul goes, yeah, I struggle sometimes. I'm weak sometimes. People offended. You offended me. Okay, well, you offended me too. But nobody thinks of that. It goes both ways. Now, how about that for the Christian life? So back over here in Proverbs chapter 10. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Can I tell you something, Christian? No matter what might happen in your life, what am I supposed to tell Regina? That won't happen to a Christian who's trying to serve God. Well, if you were doing right, that wouldn't have happened. Really? I mean, have we not nailed the point home? I mean, have we not nailed the point home enough? You realize probably every person in this room, and I'm in this room, okay? So lest you think I'm being arrogant or talking down to you, I'm not. Probably every person in this room would quit if a tenth of what was put on Paul was put on him. We'd be like, I got to be out of the will of God. Why? Because we've been programmed by foolishness. And by looking at things that don't apply to us and claiming land promises and physical promises that God gave to Israel as our own. And that's not what God has promised you in this dispensation. But you know what he will do? He will walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll tell you that you're his own. And the joy you share as you tarry there, none other has ever known. He won't suffer your soul. Now let's make a spiritual application and we'll be done. He won't suffer your soul to famish. Christian, if you'll open up that book, he'll feed you. And when people come along and say, I know you guys are going through a lot right now, but why are you happy? You'll say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We underplay the beauty, the power, the importance of being fed spiritually by God. I'm trying to tell you, and I hope you've picked up on it throughout the day today, I'm trying to tell you, I take my job in trying to give you the Bible and trying to give you some truth that'll help you spiritually very seriously. You know why? Because I take my Savior seriously. He said, lovest thou me more than these? And you could just take Peter's name out and put my name in because I can relate to Peter. I've been a lot like him. And I'm not bragging about that. He could take his name out and put Mike's name in. Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, kind of head down, kind of like, yeah, I know I denied. I know I wasn't. I haven't always been right. I know I've hurt you. Feed my sheep. Hey, Mike, you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. What are you getting at here? It's ancient history. Feed my sheep. See, you've heard me say a lot that I never wanted to be in the ministry and all that stuff. I retract that statement. That may have been true in the past. I don't want anything else right now. Nothing else. Nothing. If you offered me a job well into six figures and told me I had to work 20 hours a week and I got a nice corner office, I'd just come sit there, play solitaire on the computer and go home, I'd tell you to get out of my life. You're the devil, man. Get out of here. I like what I got. But you know why? Because I love my Savior. You realize how important it is for me to be fed by him? He promised he won't suffer my soul to famish. And he won't suffer yours to famish either. You can get in the book and you can get fed. He'll feed you. He loves you. You're saved, aren't you? Amen. Then he'll feed you. A book that never did make sense can make sense now. He'll feed you. Ask him. Get in church. Amen. And sit there and don't be like, you know, well, we've heard all this before. Well, I know all this, you know, but, you know, we'll see. No, come here saying, God, would you give me something, please? And if you come here like that, God will give you something. He won't suffer your soul to famish. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. You guys realize that while you're looking, going, man, if I took my tithe money and put it here or there, I could have this or that. So how do you know that people think that way? I'm a people. I crunch numbers. I have a budget. And I spend every penny on paper on purpose before I went. I mean, that's the first thing I do when I get paid. As I lay it out and I write out what's what. And I mean, I'm just like ridiculous about it. I know how much of a buffer zone I do or don't have. And I'm ridiculous about it. And you can't help sometimes have the devil come along and say, well, you can't afford that. You guys remember this. Well, they're all going and getting what they want. By the way, they pay their tithes. It's usually the Budweiser or whatever else it is, but they pay them, okay, so relax. But you realize that the day is coming that God's going to take all the substance of the wicked and he's going to burn it up with a fervent heat. And it's going to be gone. So I hope you have nice houses and I hope you're able to upgrade them and you drive nice cars. And I'm not trying to say any of that. I really hope you do. But I'm trying to tell you, don't get so wrapped up in the junk of this world. Put first things first, and Jesus Christ is first. And he'll feed you. Let's pray. I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. I know it's a little different than my normal rantings and ravings, but you get plenty of that. Come back Wednesday. I will rant and rave at you. I'll spit, snort, stomp, kick, and all the rest of that. But once in a while, it's okay to throttle it back a little bit and just meditate. Amen.